Wait a minute, what am I doing? Two men in a what? Two friends from film school, one who graduated, one who did, and they decided to make a podcast. Okay, this has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
I just wish I'd get a little kiss afterwards.
I mean, you probably won't be asked back, but you could ask them.
Well, I don't want to ask. I don't want to be presumptuous. I just want her to feel like I've been such a good boy with my dental pen. She gives me. I want to say like a deep sexual kiss, just a little peck on the lips, like you're kissing your sister.
Ew, no.
Welcome to the Two Men in a Movie podcast, where each week one man shows another man a movie he can't believe he hasn't seen. As always, I'm the gingivitis plagued and kiss deprived Matthew Olenchek, your wonderful host, joined as always by my presumably not kiss starved, I don't know how your teeth are, I could check you like a horse, I guess, Harrison Poole, my wonderful work husband. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I would like to think my teeth are okay. I brushed
let me see those gums. Yeah, you're doing okay.
Yeah. I get I was going to say here, but like right my top, right in between my canine and my front teeth, it gets really inflamed, but only that spot ever.
Hmm.
I don't floss every day. I try and floss as much as I remember to.
I get a water flosser.
I do water pick. I think it's a scam.
You think?
I think my water pick is a scam. Mm. I don't think water picks in general are scams.
But the ones you bought?
Yeah, but I think the one I use and bought
they,
is
they
a
sell one at the dentist's for like 60 with the rebate you get.
Oh, okay, nice.
Which, you know, that's a, I feel like that's a decent price to spend for it, so it's probably good. And she's like, it doesn't replace flossing. You still have to floss, but it helps like get everything out. And I'm like, I mean, flossing's a nightmare because you've seen my teeth; they're British.
Yeah,
I don't have a British ounce of blood in me. I'm very Eastern European. Which I guess like maybe you know they're traditional Eastern European teeth.
We got Ohio teeth.
Yeah, awful teeth. So I feel like water picking would help.
Yeah.
I mean, anyone who's going to say, take your wisdom teeth out, they're not causing me pain. And I don't want to be more dumb than I already am.
That's a dumb joke. I like that a lot. I like that joke a lot.
it's like if they're not if they're not causing me issues.
No, 1,000%. If you don't have to, don't do it.
Well, your teeth are pressed together. I'm suddenly going to pull them out. My teeth are going to go, finally, room to breathe. And they're going to go, clink, clink, clink. That'd be horrifying, first of all. I don't want to fucking have unnecessary surgery. I don't like, because I know that whoever does the surgery is never going to give me a kiss. Surgeons are assholes. Not caring.
If they do give you a kiss, you'll still be asleep, so it won't
I won't even know.
It won't even matter.
I won't even know, and they're not going to be as sweet as my wonderful dentist, who I keep getting because it's Aspen Dental, so I don't like have a dentist. Uh-huh. I just keep getting the same dentist, very sweet woman.
You were telling me you didn't really dig this movie. I love this movie.
I'm going to be out front and say I don't think it's a bad movie.
Sure.
Because like, I brought up earlier like the idea of like, don't think twice. I don't think it's a bad made movie. I don't know who the fuck it's for. I don't think that movie should exist. Because if it's for improv people, they're going to be like, why are they making us seem like such insufferable people?
Or are they not self-aware enough to realize they're insufferable?
I don't think those people should get movies. I think they should be put down.
Okay.
Okay, that brings us to the third group of people who see that and think I should be an improv guy, and they are then lumped into the second one where they're like, okay, here's your prop, it's your schmuck you wear into the gas chamber. Gas, yeah. I don't know. I just hate bad improvers more than anything.
Okay.
I could do the Holocaust if it was for bad improvers. But yeah, I don't like I'm like, this movie just I don't know who the fuck it's for. And every single fucking character in this is insufferable. And it just kind of meanders. This movie, like, it's very tropey. But, you know, it's just a standard rom-com, which just isn't my genre. But no, I did not enjoy this movie.
That's fine.
And I think it's because I don't hate every character. I'm neutral towards a lot of them. I hate the main character.
How?
Just a cringy, sad one. The thing is, I think what it boils down to, it goes beyond his rom-coms, which is a certain group of media I don't like, which is look at this cringy, sad white man who's having problems in his life, feel sympathy for him. Like you're Scott Pilgrims and shit. And I just don't.
That makes zero sense to me. Listen, I
see him just like sobbing on the floor so loud people next door hear him, and I'm like,
that's cringy as hell. But also like it's supposed
everything
to be,
everything
like,
he does in this movie is so like if he was my friend and he told me what he did, I'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
If he was my friend and he told me what he did, I would be like, yo, do you need to talk?
His only redeeming quality is that he made a comedy-based puppet play.
Yes.
That's the only
Dracula musical.
The Dracula musical is the one thing that I'm like, you know, I hope he becomes a not cringy, terrible white guy. Cause like, this is good.
A lot of, not the Hawaii part, but the very, like the premise of the movie, the breakup movie, is like about, a real thing that happened to Jason Segel in real life.
Did he react like this?
I mean, I don't know.
Was he living like a fucking slob beforehand?
I mean, probably he was like a 23, 24 year old. White dude, like, you just, it happens. Okay,
I was not eating fucking cereal out of mixing bowls when I was 23, tell you that much. I had proper silverware.
No, awful. Genuinely, no, that is visionary. That I will defend. Listen, a lot of the cringy behavior I can't really defend. He was 100% doing that
because he did not have clean bowls.
Sure. Doesn't matter.
Do your fucking dishes.
Doesn't matter. Still.
It's like when you go into, like, I remember in college going to people's bathrooms and, like, they have, like, toothpaste. I don't know where the toothbrush is, but I presume they have it.
Yeah.
And, like, a thing of, like, shaving cream. And that's the only thing in their bathroom. Like, everything's, it's at that meme of, like, the bare minimum early 20s white guy apartment where they have, like, nothing.
Sure.
Hate that. I've never lived that life. And it's just, ugh, I just hate it.
I'm sorry. No, I defend eating cereal out of the giant mixing bowl. You sad. Get more. Yes, it is.
Sad and cringe. Yes, it is. Not worthy of my respect. Yes,
it is. And honestly, I would do it if I have not done it in the past. In a depressive episode, 100% I would eat cereal out of a mixing bowl.
And like also like, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but when I've had breakups before in the past, I did not immediately crawl into the fetal position and sob. So I'm holding that against him.
Okay.
Don't be such a bitch.
I'm sorry that human emotion, especially human emotion,
just drink it away. That's like, no, a normal person.
That's not healthy.
He ends up drinking it away anyways, and he still keeps on crying.
Yes. I'm sorry that a 6-year relationship for him died and he felt sad about it. So
I spent a week laying in bed doing nothing, drinking wine. But you know what? Still took my showers and ate my breakfast off a plate.
Okay.
Depression can't take that away from me. I've had people say, you're not depressed, but I was like very clearly depressed.
Yeah.
Because I'm still taking showers.
Sure.
It's like, no, buddy, I'm not doing. Like, when I'm not taking a shower or eating out of a bowl, I've been laying in my bed face down for like the entire day. Mm-hmm. What do you mean I'm not depressed?
I don't think I'm a shower skipper when I'm depressed. I don't care as much about plates and bowls and shit.
See,
like, I'll eat everything out of the, like, I'll do the mixing bowl thing. I'll still, like, maintain myself as much as I can for the most part, as far as I'm aware. I mean,
all my maintenance stuff just stays the same. That never changes on my emotional mood.
That's fair. Nah, the mixing bullshit is, if I have not done it in the past, that's a thing I would
100%. You will do it in the future.
No, but, like, that's a thing I 100% would have or would do. The real thing that happened in the first scene of the movie is real. He did get broken up with naked. And he's said this in interviews that as it was happening, he was thinking to himself, this is so funny right now. I'm going to put this in a script one
day. And see, that is why I know he handled it better. That's why I know that when it happened, it wasn't as sad, as pitiful as this man. Because no. If you saw that, so,
like, I don't know, like, if he handled it like well, but I don't, again, never been through a breakup. But, like, I don't know if anyone handles them well.
Which is why, because you're always like, breakup movies. Like,
I love breakup movies. I love breakup music.
It's like how I enjoy, like, Lord of the Rings or Star Wars or Warhammer. Because, like, I've never been a space marine or an elf. But it's nice to imagine a world where that happens.
No, but I think it's because it's when emotions are most raw.
I'd be interested to see if you ever have a breakup, if you would still enjoy breakup movies.
Sure, 1,000%. There. Okay, so 2019, I listened almost exclusively to breakup albums. And why? I cannot explain to you why, but I went through my top, I found my old top 10 list, and 8 of them are breakup records.
Oh yeah, my fucking 2017, like, is it's not necessarily albums, but there's a lot of, like, sad breakup music, because I'm a sad sack of shit sometimes.
Sure. I think it's because it's one of the moments where emotions are most raw, or like you're most openly in your feels. And I love the way that sounds.
I will say, you know what the one character I like the most was?
Who?
Not saying he was the best character. Russell Brand's character.
I knew you would say that. Listen.
Because he's a piece of shit.
Yes.
But I like how he just kind of like... because there's so... It would be so tropey for her new boyfriend to be like a dick to everybody.
Yeah.
And to like hate the main character.
Yeah.
But he truly doesn't hate a single fucking person.
That's actually kind of why I like this movie, because it very much plays in the tropes, but what it chooses to like twist them.
Kind of to have a trope of like, he had sex with her again, so now it's messing up his new relationship, which is like the hackiest fucking trope. But I like how this guy's 100% like, no, I'm completely cool with you. We should invite him to dinner.
Yeah.
Like, he's just completely unaffected by anything around him.
Two things. One, the idea for this movie outside of the naked breakup is that Jason Segel was sick and tired of going into rom-coms and knowing that the two people on the poster are going to get together in the end. So what happens if you know that they don't get together?
Mm.
Like, what happens if you know that the movie is about a breakup and it's about these two people? And two, I'm not calling you the Aldous Snow character by any means, but that when it's the four of them at the dinner table late when they're all drunk on wine and he's like spills the thing on his shirt. When they talk about sex and sexuality are the exact like conversations and
I'm a piece of shit. I know that there's too much.
You're
not calling me. I'm calling myself a piece of shit. I look at this character. I'm like, yeah, I do a lot of these things. I understand.
Sure. It's and I don't think you're as far as that.
No.
But the idea of I'm gonna stick my dick in anything that moves, and then there's Peter, which is much more my theory of I want to get to know a person, and if you have sex, cool. Yeah, but at the end of the day,
it's the non-importance he places on sex.
Yeah.
Also, where he's like, "Heaven, spare the take my eyes, but spare the shirt," is 100% something I would say.
Yes, it is.
Which is wild because you think of these movies would be like something I would look into.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm so close to being like the target audience for this.
What makes you say that?
I'm oft a sad sack of shit.
Sure.
I'm melancholic in nature.
Sure. A lot of this, I did not watch this movie last year. I try to watch this movie at least once a
year. That's wild to me.
I love this movie. It's Jason Segel, when he wrote this movie and starred in it, is my age now.
I think this is the best way for me to put my feelings on this movie. If someone told me that, like, Don't Think Twice was their favorite movie, I wouldn't question it. I would just think they're a stupid piece of shit. So you tell me that this is your favorite movie doesn't compute to me. Like, it was just such a neutral feeling I have towards the movie.
Sure.
Edging on negative. That someone's like, this is my favorite movie. I'm like, what? Why?
So is it just that you think he's a sad sack and you're annoyed by that? And that it's tropey? Because yes, it's tropey, but I do think it plays on it.
Him being a sad sack of shit is really the only thing I feel about this movie. Otherwise, I'm very just kind of on it.
I'm so sorry.
The sad sack of shit part is like the one thing that I'm latching onto emotionally. I'm like, oh, like I'm cringing. I'm like, fuck this guy. Like there's so many, the most I felt in this movie was cringing. There's times where I'd like have to stop a scene and be like, oh God, oh man, this is hard to watch. I don't like watching this guy be this bad. Okay, we're going back in.
I think it's I don't.
He's a fucking dope. I want to rope a dope him.
So do we want to do our normal scene by scene, or do we just want to generally talk about the movie? Because I think we'll hit most of the movie in conversation.
The one actual criticism I have about this movie as a movie, which is why I don't want to do scene by scene,
sure,
is it's too fucking long.
You know what? Here's the thing. Basically, every movie Judd Apatow touches is too long. I love this
movie. An hour and a half in, I'm like, we still have half an hour?
We have like 20 minutes.
And then he goes back, and like, I'm like, we still have 20 minutes? This movie is so it does not need to be this long.
I agree with you, and I'm so glad it's this long. Not a joke. Listen, it's too long. You can cut You can cut 25 minutes out of this movie pretty easily, and it is a tighter, better movie.
I was checking the time so often. I'm like, how are we still going?
Listen, you're correct, and I agree with you.
You could cut out the scene of what's his name not fucking his wife properly, and still, you cut every scene he's in.
Yeah.
And you could still cut another 25 minutes on top of it.
Probably. Yeah. 1,000%.
Another point to why Russell Brand's character is slightly sympathetic to me. Right?
Uh-huh.
Again, internally a piece of shit. Not to anyone else, though. Like, I don't know if the movie wants me to hate this guy, because he's not, like, actively a piece of shit to anyone. Like, this guy's like, I can't fuck my wife, and then he shows them how to fuck his wife, and then they're doing happy fine.
I think I don't know if hate's the wrong word. I think he's just annoying. But, like,
Because I'm gonna go as far to say, I don't think he's even a piece of shit. He just doesn't have morals. Because, like, being a piece of shit to me implies that you're actively, like, being a piece of shit. Where, like, he doesn't really have, like, any negative, like, he's never, like, mean or cruel to anybody.
I mean, the shirt thing's just rude, but, like, whatever.
He's just rude, but...
I don't know. I think actively having sex with people with genital herpes and not telling them...
Yeah.
...is a piece of shit move.
That is his biggest piece of shit move.
Yeah, it's a pretty big piece of shit move.
It's really his only one. I forgot about that. It's really the one he has. Because, like, otherwise, he's like...
He just doesn't view people as whole people.
Yeah, you want to come to dinner with me? You know, we're cool. We're cool. I have nothing against you. Yeah, we're friends. We can be friends on vacation. I don't care. We can chill.
There's an unofficial sequel to this movie called Get Him to the Greek that just follows Jonah Hill and Russell Brand's character on tour.
That's incredible.
I have not seen it. I love this movie, and I have not seen Get Him to the Greek.
Yeah. Yeah, this guy who's like this annoying groupie, and he's just incredibly chill towards this guy, pretty much. He's like, that's how you think I sound? He's like, yeah, goodbye. He's like, never's like, you're stupid and your music sucks. Just like, okay. Like, he's a piece of shit, but like, in just such a like, I don't care about anything that's going on really kind of way.
Yeah.
Which is so different compared to so many movies like this, where the person's like actively.
Right.
An awful person.
I think it's another thing. Yeah, like, there is the tropey, like, I think this movie plays with tropes. I don't think it inverts many of them.
Yeah.
I think the big thing of the main couple doesn't get together, they break up, is the biggest inversion this movie does.
Yeah.
I don't think this movie, like, flips anything.
It's really only
that
and the Russell Brand character. It really is, like, he's a piece of shit because he doesn't care, but his good moments are also because he just doesn't give a shit. He's just kind of existing in his space. He's not even like overly pretentious. He's just kind of existing. The entire movie, he's just there. And like in life, he's just there.
Okay. So is he the only character you like have strong feelings towards in any positive manner?
I like the big Hawaiian guy.
The
big man.
The big man who he kills the pig with.
Yeah. I like him because when he gets into the fight, he does. That man's been in fights before.
Yes.
You can tell. Because it's not how you fight in a movie. It's how a man that size fights, which is you just go up and whoop. Is it Penn Oswalt who has a thing where you watch the one guy just pick the guy up and drop him? Like, it's 100% true. That's how, like, big men fight. Is you just go up and he's go whoop, because that's all they need to do.
Truly, just grabs him and doesn't really even, I mean, pulls back a little bit and just pushes them.
Yeah, like, it's so good.
Yeah, the beach when it's...
And he's a chill guy, too. He's a chill guy.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
I like Mila Kunis's character.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I like this movie
a lot. A lot of rom-com I've seen, I just don't like any of the characters.
Okay.
Either of the characters.
What is it about rom-coms that you don't like? What is it, do you think? And it could just be not made for you, but is there like a specific
thing? It's not made
thing?
For me. Like, I think a lot of the humor, a lot of time the humor just doesn't land for me.
Sure.
Like, a lot of the ones, I think a lot of the bigger rom-coms, like, the humor just doesn't land.
Okay.
So I don't think they're particularly funny. Like, I don't think they're unfunny. I see the jokes organized like good jokes. There's not jokes. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. You know, more like a villains to lovers kind of guy.
Sure. I understand.
Yeah. You know what a good romance movie for me is?
What?
The Underworld movies.
Are we bringing that main feed, or are we saving that for commentaries?
You keep acting like that was ever an option where we are putting Underworld front and center.
No, I mean all of them.
Dedicating a month to Underworld. They're some of my favorite fucking movies.
Oh my god. Okay. I'm happy for you. We'll watch it.
Like, when you were watching this in high school and you're like, this is a foundational film for me, I was watching all the Underworld. I was watching Underworlds, reading fucking you know, like the shitty young adult romance mm-hmm. novels where it's like, oh, actually, I'm a reincarnated angel or something
oh,
like that.
Oh, no.
Oh, I ate those
oh,
up.
Oh, no.
You want to be like, what is what romance is Matt like? That shit. Oh, I, Jesus. Oh, so fucking good.
That hurts.
Or like the biker one where they're all like biker angels.
Oh, sure.
Mm. Nice. Eat that up.
I think what I like is that the relationship felt like semi-honest, like as far as like real breakups I've seen people go through where people try and like villainize the other person. And it's like,
it feels semi-honest in that it is a, it just feels like a really bad relationship in a very honest way.
A bad relationship that lasted half a decade.
It's a bad relationship that make me go like, it's, I'd be like, eh. Ugh. There's definitely people I know who've been in long-term relationships that I've been like, towards, and this would have been one of them.
Yeah, it is a dysfunctional couple. There are a lot of people in my life who I see and I'm like, I don't, I'm not gonna name names.
I think most people are dysfunctional in my life.
Okay, what is your definition? Okay, what is your definition of dysfunctional?
Has anxiety.
That's not, I mean, that's dysfunctional, I guess, but that's barely dysfunctional.
I just like, I don't know. Like, I think that's what I was like, oh, you know, suck it up because he's having a bad time, but it's affecting him so deeply. Where like, I am so mentally ill, but I'm somewhere it's more functional than people who should be doing better than I am. And I think that just really colors my perceptions of things.
Oh my god.
Is the fact that like I am losing my fucking mind genuinely.
Yeah.
And but like I am so much more stable than everyone else in my life. I don't have ups and downs. I'm just bloop. Paint my boys, paint my wee little men, do my job. I guess I don't have much tolerance for people. This is on me. I'm not saying that it's a moral failing on their part. I don't have much tolerance for people who let things affect them much because it doesn't affect me much. So I find it annoying when someone curls into a fetal position and starts crying. I don't know what to do when people cry. I truly don't. It makes me deeply uncomfortable.
These are the moments when I remember that, one, you were an only child, and two, you grew up very, very Catholic.
Yeah.
You don't really know how to interact with people outside of, like, you don't know how to, you'll interact with everyone, but you don't know how to interact on a deep level unless someone, like, lets you in. And you're very uncomfortable with emotions,
well,
period.
I can deal with a lot of people having a bad time. It's literally as soon as they start crying, I don't know what to do. Like, if they're not crying, but they're expressing, like, deep depression towards me, I can talk to them. That's fine. I can deal with that. But once they start crying, it's like, oh, man, talking. Once the talking stops, I don't know how to deal with it.
Just be with them. It's not that hard.
I think it's because I don't cry very often, so I just don't. Like, I can't even be like, how would I like to be?
No, sure, but
I don't have the, I don't have the ability to put myself in their shoes to, like, figure out what to do. Because it's just like, oh, God, they're crying. I don't do that. Oh, no. I haven't cried in, like, 5 years.
I've cried within the last 5 years. I have not cried many times in the last 5 years.
I can tell you how little I cry because I can tell you the exact time I cried last.
I know the exact time you cried last.
I can give you a date which tells you how little I cry. Because everyone else is like, oh man, I don't know. Which implies that there's possibility.
Last time I cried, I was watching Clerks 3 in the theaters for the same reason you cried.
That's bad.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Yeah.
No, I...
Because he doesn't get to see how the trilogy
I get
ends,
a bit teary sometimes, but not even teary, like my eyes water a bit sometimes, but that's about as close as I get to crying. Yeah, so like, I don't know, when he just starts sobbing over this breakup, because when I had my worst breakup, I just kind of turned on my side after laying down and didn't move for like 24 hours.
So
silently.
It truly is, you're just uncomfortable with extreme emotion, or is it truly solely crying?
I think it's solely crying.
That's so weird.
It's just not in my toolbox. So I don't know what to do with it.
So weird.
Like, they might as well be speaking in tongues, and I'm like, I don't know how to interface or interact with this.
Jesus Christ. All right, we've barely talked
about
the movie.
It's a pitiful weak state. I don't like seeing people in pitiful weak states generally.
We've barely talked about the movie, so we have one of two options: either we start talking about the movie, or we talk about like the two or three more scenes that matter.
Yeah, let's talk about the scenes. See how
long. And then we just go from there. Okay. Yeah.
We can probably patch in some bits elsewhere.
I don't even know if I want to patch in bits as much as, like, let's finish the movie and then go the conversation. Yeah. It's just like, okay. When he gets moved to... Nope, that's not the scene I want to talk about. The scene I want to talk about is the weird reconciliation, like, pseudo-sex scene. But, like, I don't even know how to describe that. Like, it's weird, awkward, clunky. She's upset that Aldous is leaving for London and just like up and left. He goes to comfort her. They had
bad move.
Do you think his intentions were pure in the beginning? And do you think
But he's weak.
Me too.
He's a weak.
I truly think that's what it was.
I'm sorry that if I'm currently pursuing a relationship with Mila Kunis, you cannot. Kirsten Bell cannot sway me.
Yeah, Aldous is
leaving. Take it away from just physical attractiveness. You can't sway me from this fun island lady.
Yes.
She's just a better choice.
That's kind of the point, is yeah, that it's a relationship that works better with their personality versus a relationship that isn't going to work. But I also think that he needed like his first long-term adult relationship and that true break, like, to be ready for.
Well, yeah, he doesn't have to go fucking back to it.
What?
I don't think he needed to go back to it for a bit to have that break.
I don't think in real life, yeah, the real character, like, I mean, a real person, like, would not.
But in the movie, you
structurally need something.
I go back to comfort my ex, I would go with the assumption we're going to fuck, though. Like, I would not be like, I'm not going to fuck them, because that's a fool's errand. If I'm not willing to fuck my ex, I'm not going to comfort them.
What?
If I...
That makes zero... You wouldn't just comfort someone because they're sad and you love them?
I would. With an ex, it's always complicated, isn't it? Love...
Whether romantic aside, you probably still deeply love this person for a while. I would go to comfort them,
but I wouldn't be like, sex is not going to be an option. I wouldn't exist where I'm like, we're not going to fuck. I'm over her.
This is just okay. This is just a thing I'll never understand.
But look, he goes and fucks her because it was always that temptation. Going, like, to your ex in a vulnerable spot where you're vulnerable, you're not quite over it, she's not quite over it. If you go there and you don't have the mindset where, like, we might end up fucking, you are a fool. If you are not operating that, because then if you think that, then you're like, I shouldn't do that because I'm trying to make this thing work with this woman. It's called being aware of your flaws and weaknesses.
I mostly agree. I think, sure, you know what, I'll agree with that point. I do think,
you know, it's like how when you're like doing something with fire, you always assume you could be burned.
Sure, 1,000%. Yeah. But
I'm not saying you're going in with your dick hard, ready to fuck. I'm just saying you acknowledge the fact that you might fuck. That is a possibility that might happen. And so, you know, is that something you're okay with happening?
Fair enough.
Especially this short, like, maybe like years after, I wouldn't go in with that assumption.
But like a month after,
this close, yeah.
But yeah, he goes to comfort her. She's like, I made a mistake, and starts kissing him. He starts kissing her, and it's like they start hooking
really
up
is,
again.
It really is. You haven't had a lot of breakups, which is not a situation you've been in. When I broke up with my ex, she came over to break up with me. She started to break up with me. We had sex. She finished breaking up with me.
I don't even know how to respond to that. I'm not judging anyone in that scenario, by the way.
It's good.
But you're actively breaking up. So was it like, I don't want to actually know about your sex life.
No, go ahead, ask him.
No, it wasn't even that. It was more, I don't know. If Neve is currently in the process of...
This would be a less crazy situation if it happened after we broke up, I admit.
Yeah, if Neve is actively breaking up with me, I don't think I would be in the emotional state to sleep with her.
It's around.
And then if we slept together, I don't know. Was it like immediate unpause? Like,
yeah.
Was there pillow talk afterwards and then she broke up with you? Or was it break up, you had sex, and then immediately after she broke up with you? Okay.
We both.
I'm happy for you. I didn't, that wasn't an implication. That was just, okay.
Yeah, I treat women right.
I am happy for you, as you should.
But we, she came to break up with me because she thought it wasn't working out.
Sure.
We had sex.
How does that happen?
I continued the conversation saying, I mean, why are you breaking up with me? You cheated on me.
Oh, sure. So did you, how does that get initiated?
I don't remember. I'm a smooth criminal. I don't know.
I just want to know how that comes out.
Like, it's a relationship that Cameron told me that, like, I didn't think it was going to work out. I'm like, you should have told me that. It was not a healthy relationship at all.
I met you at the very end of that relationship.
Yeah.
I remember that breakup early on in our friendship.
Yeah. That is, that's when I really started crashing in life.
I know. Yeah, I know.
I simultaneously started crashing and I started thriving and dying.
Yeah.
The t-shirt we will be selling on the store.
Thriving and dying.
That's how I describe my life.
Hell yeah.
I'm simultaneously the best I've ever been and a complete fucking wreck. As Aleister Crowley said, the true show of power is to hold two opposite ideas in your mind as true at once, and I'm the living avatar of that.
So they're hooking up. He cannot get an erection, and she performs oral sex for 10 to 15 seconds maximum on him, and he still cannot get an erection, and he realizes that he's not in like the mental capacity for this relationship. It was like this should not happen, and so he leaves.
You gotta trust the deck.
Yeah,
he should have been out as soon as he realized he wasn't hard. Fellas, if she has to make you, if you have to become hard, she's not the one. I'm sorry, that's just how it is. If you're in that situation and you're not ready to go, don't fuck.
What? Okay, there are factors. There's medication. There's depression in general affects whatever. Also, I agree with your thesis.
Yeah.
There are extenuating circumstances in life.
They're outliers that I don't think qualify to just...
Sure. But I think denying outliers that exist, do you think they're the exceptions that prove the rule?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've never fucked a woman who I had to become hard for, and I've been happy with my choices. If she ain't making you horny, don't fuck her. Why would you fuck someone that doesn't make you horny?
See, I get that thesis.
It's the same thesis.
I just
dick hard horny. What are you talking about?
First off,
dick hard, you're horny.
That's not always true. You're just horny all the time.
Yeah.
Some of us are horny for very specific moments and then not horny most of the time.
I am almost perpetually down to fuck.
I'm aware. But
I'm a passionate man.
But he tells Mila Kunis everything that happened, and she tells him to leave, to get the fuck out of her face. Like, never, do not contact her.
Yeah, he didn't follow my rules.
So when, according to your rules, when does it stop?
There's at least two stop gaps, which is, am I ready to fuck my ex if I go back to counselor? No, because I'm trying to be with Mila Kunis.
Sure.
I'm not going.
Sure.
Gets there. I'm not hard.
Wait.
Leaves.
You think entering the hotel room not hard?
Getting to that point and not, like, her mouth should have never touched his dick.
Obviously.
If someone tries to suck my dick and I'm not hard, I'm saying, no, sir. No, no, ma'am. No, thank you. I'm not. If your mouth is approaching my cock and I am flaccid, no thank you.
Okay.
Because if we've gotten to the point where you're about to suck my dick and I'm not hard, I'm not on any fucking medication that makes me soft. What am I doing?
So you think hard should be upon kissing? Do you think hard should be upon first touch?
It doesn't matter when it is. Just when the act's about to happen, you should be hard. It can happen at any point before the act. But the act, and you must be hard. If you ain't hard when she goes to suck your dick, you must have quit. All right? I don't know. I'm going to write a book. It's going to save a lot of men's lives. They're very simple rules. And if you follow them, your life's a lot simpler.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. The only thing I can think of right now is if you're not erect, you must deflect. But
That's really good.
Defect. If you're not erect, you must defect.
Because when you get to that point, those sweet Kirsten Bell lips are about to wrap around your rod, right? If you're not hard by that point, like, there's no encounter where you're like, hey, want to have sex? Sure. Immediately her lips are on your dick. That does not happen. People do not fuck unless they are ready to fuck. Like, at that point, you're just trying to force it.
I mean, she is trying to force
it. You should slip into a sexual relationship just as easily as you slip into her. It should just be natural.
Okay.
It should just happen.
Do you have another point, or are you just going to keep essentially saying the same thing?
I'm going to keep saying the same thing as long as you're laughing. That's how I operate. I'll fucking drive anything to the ground if someone's chuckling.
You know what? I respect that.
It's why I kept singing the frog fucking song really loud at work, despite the fact everyone else wanted to kill me.
You and
just
I
kept getting you going.
You and I just kept going. Yeah. I love that. The unicorn. The Lucky Charms unicorn.
So bettable. Because folks, fellas at home, inside my work locker when I worked with Harrison cooking was a picture of him and a picture of a unicorn we both wanted to fuck, to which his lovely lady said, "I am not being the fourth wheel."
But she essentially tells him, like, never contact me, like, go away, I never want to see you again. Did we mention Mila Kunis's picture was hanging in the bathroom?
Yeah, she has her tits out.
Yes, she has a picture of her flashing the camera when she was, like, a teenager, hanging in...
above the urinal.
Yeah, above the urinal at... not Lazy Joe's, but the other bar.
Crazy design decision.
The owner won't let anyone take the pictures off. Jason Segel takes Mila Kunis's picture off and gets beat up for it, and then just walks over to the front desk, puts her picture on the counter.
I feel like,
and then goes to hug
sneakier.
His two friends. What?
I feel like he could have done it sneakier.
I mean, yeah, probably. But like, for the movie to work, you need it to be this like ultimate struggle.
It's not that you could just take it off and walk out really quick. And
in the real world, yes. But in movie logic, you structurally, you need it to be like this big moment of like, I'm not even trying to bed you right now. I just want to let you know that I meant what I said. Like, I do care for you and I'm willing to like take this.
I think he could show that without. I don't think a man's worth is determined by if he's willing to take a beating by a woman.
I agree.
I think he could just set it down and the meeting would still be there.
I think for the movie to work, you need him to get beat up.
Nah.
Because you need him to go to his... You need him to go to his bartender buddy and the big Hawaiian buddy in that same scene. And the bartender like gives Mila Kunis a like for shame look.
I think maybe, I don't know, he could be pissed on taking it down.
But yeah, he leaves the island. He gives her the invitation to his Dracula musical. Because for a minute, when he's back home, he's in his self-loathing phase. And then eventually he gets better. And he improves himself. And then is like, I'm gonna get to work. Another scene I really like earlier, I think their relationship is so unhealthy, but I do like that these two people are not meant to be together, but genuinely do care for each other. Like when her show gets canceled. Sarah Marshall is an actress on CSI.
She's a CSI actress and he does the music for the show.
Like when Scene of the Crime gets canceled and Russell Brand just doesn't care. And Jason Segel meets up, like sees her and they're talking. That moment of like, this isn't The View. You can talk to me like a normal person. Like, how are you doing? And she has this breakdown. Like, I'm really freaked out right now. These two people really do care for each other. They weren't meant to be, obviously. Do you think they remain friends?
No. I'm not as strong now, but no.
Do you think it's possible to remain friends with an ex? Because I know some people who don't, and I think that's weird.
I'm not sure I ever personally could.
Is there a reason behind that?
I don't know. It's complicated. So I don't know. I don't, as free as I am to fuck, I am rare to fall in love. So I think that it'd be a toll on my mental health. The only situation in which I wouldn't want the relationship to keep going is if they fucked me over and then I wouldn't want to be their friend. Or rather, the best way to put it is there's no situation where I want to be their friend where I don't want to be back, where I am... Like, I don't want that relationship to be back together. Maybe years later?
Like, you both have had enough.
I would have to move on, and that takes me quite some time.
And you think you could reconnect?
Maybe. I don't think so. I'm just saying that's a possibility in which it would happen.
Okay. I don't know. Again,
you can speak from no experience.
I can speak from no experience. I don't know. I would like to believe that Neve and I would be. Like, I think, I don't know. We were, like, really close friends first. So like,
yeah, but the relationships change that.
It can, sure.
It does. Maybe not to a huge extent, but being in a relationship changes your relationship with them from that point forward, whether or not you're in that relationship. It's not just a little state you're in for a bit. It's a whole restructuring of your connection with this person.
I'm not denying that. I thought you meant like being in a relationship restructures the entire, like the idea of the friendship. And I don't know if I necessarily believe.
No, it adds more complicated layers onto it. Because like, although I'm 100% one of those people that say, you know, platonic relationships are just as important as romantic relationships. Yes. Romantic relationships are more complex.
I don't know if I agree with that. But again, like, I have one to speak of.
Not like an overly way that's, but like they are, there is, like, I don't know, more owed, more put in, more, it's a certain sense of vulnerability I don't think you get from platonic relationships. It's why generally losing a friend hurts less than like a breakup. Because when you have a serious relationship going on, your lives become intertwined in a way that's much more, not deeper, what's the word I'm looking for? Intertwined, just to repeat myself, in a platonic relationship. Like, I have tons of very close friends, but our lives are not as, like, mushed together as if you're in a relationship with someone.
Sure. I'll use us as an example. I view this relationship to be like as deep and as complex as my romantic relationship in an entirely different way. But like,
that's why Geneva said she didn't want to be a fourth wheel to a
sure. But like, I don't know. Like, if we stopped being friends, I would feel it. I think I would feel it like a breakup. I think you mentioned earlier it's a vulnerability thing.
I guess it's because like I don't think that like you give up your own life when you're in a relationship, like, oh, now you're sharing one life, but there is now like a third life there, you know?
1,000%.
And that's something that doesn't exist to that extent. Like, if we live together, I couldn't file my taxes with you on them.
Sure.
You know,
I mean, I we don't file our taxes on each other anyway, but I do get what you're saying.
Like, it is there's just deeper as in the sense of depth things where like they tend to get to they are present in your life at a level, not necessarily emotionally, but just like if your life was a physical construct, deeper. Because like I don't know, like there's tons of things that like you worry about or you know about or you deal with your significant other that you'll care about if your friends are going through these things, but you're not as engaged with it, you know?
I think it varies the level of friend, but I do understand what you're saying. And also, I'm not saying that this is the same as my romantic relationship. It is obviously not.
It is. We all know it. Okay. We all know it is. Like, don't, Geneva, stop listening. We all know it is. Okay, you don't gotta deny it.
No,
we're in a safe space right now.
Okay, yeah.
They thought we were gay together.
They did. They did for a long time.
Yeah.
Multiple people thought we were a homosexual couple.
And not like the passing, like, then, oh, we're at a table together at a restaurant, they give us one bill. Like, they thought that we were, like, a committed relationship.
Yes, they did. To the point where we both had to tell people, multiple people, that I'm in a relationship with Geneva. Yeah. And it makes sense the moment they saw the two of us together. It was like, oh, okay. Like, obviously. Yeah. I don't know. There are like,
I guess like
two or there's like three or four like truly. I think it's
because a relationship's a unit. You know, when you're with a friend, you don't meld together as much. But like it's proven that like when you're like in a long term relationship with each other, you start mixing a bit.
Yeah, 1,000%.
And that doesn't really happen with long term friendships as much to that level.
Sure.
Not necessarily that there's a deeper connection, but there's definitely more going through.
Sure.
And especially more of the more inconsequential stuff.
Okay, I can get behind that. I also, yeah, I'm not saying platonic relationships and romantic relationships are the same thing. Like, obviously. I think it is a vulnerability thing, but I also think that you can't, if you're only truly vulnerable with one person, that's a sad life. But like, I'm truly deeply vulnerable with a handful of people, to the point where when I was truly deeply vulnerable with a person who will not be named, and our relationship fell apart, like I reacted in many ways, like from my friends and family, like it was a breakup. Like they said, it was like, no, you're going through a breakup right now, just not like, it's just not romantic.
And I think it kind of like, that's exception that proves the rule, because that's not something that's commonly seen.
Okay.
I think that's why it was remarked upon. If it wasn't unique, everyone's like, oh yeah, he lost a friend, but they're like, oh, you're dealing with this like it's a breakup. So you kind of mesh to this, you mesh together more. But like a relationship very much is like is almost symbiotic in a way that I think a platonic friendship can't be.
I don't know if can't be, but often isn't. I do think if you don't live together, it can't be.
Yeah.
I think platonic friendship, like, I think if we lived together, like, it would be, like, a platonic life partnership.
Yeah, Geneva would break up with you and say, go marry Matt.
Okay, that's not what I meant. But no, and
I'm just saying that's what would happen. She knew she couldn't compete anymore.
I don't know. Honestly, we've barely talked about the movie. Just know I love this movie. This feels like a good note to like really end on.
Yeah. The fact that if we were to live together, destroy your
relationship. No, but like the nature of like platonic and romantic and complexities of human like emotion. I don't know. I like this movie a lot. Results may vary. I recommend this movie to everyone, but at the same time, I totally understand if you don't like it. Do you have any final thoughts?
I am largely indifferent towards this movie.
Okay. Do you want to do socials?
Yeah, I'll do socials. So you can find us on Instagram at Two Men Movie Podcast, which is the same as our email at Gmail, that you can send us fun letters, perhaps some of your personal Harrison/Matthew fanfic. If you send us any fanfic, I will read it on air.
If you send us fanfic, that will be the intro of an episode.
Yeah, I will. I'm not putting absolutely no bears in Andrew today. I will read us fucking on air.
I will listen to you read us fucking on air.
I know
air.
Some people who are in celebrity things find it weird that like, oh, they're having me fuck people that are my friends. I'm 100%. I had a friend tell me a dream they had of me fucking another friend. It did not faze me. Like, if you think of me fucking someone, that makes me happy.
So that's two men movie podcast
at gmail.com for all your Harrison/Matthew fanfic tags. A deep anal penetration. You can also find our YouTube at Two Men and a Movie Podcast. That is the only one where it's different. Anywhere else, if you're trying to find us, just search Two Men Movie Podcast. You'll find us if we exist.
And Spotify and like on official podcast platforms, we are Two Men and a Movie.
No, on Spotify, I think the link's Two Men Movie Podcast. I could be wrong.
Oh, I don't
Spotify
know.
Spotify doesn't matter because you put whatever it's going to come up because it has like three different search terms. It's like our host name, our actual podcast name. Yeah, fair enough. It's like an Instagram too where like, I think it's like the name's Two Men and a Movie. I don't know. You can find me at Midwest_Magician, where you can see my fun adventures as I journey further and further into my 30s.
You can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at harrisonpoole.com. That's P-O...
Still pushing the TikTok.
Yeah, P-O-O-L-E-D-O-T-C-O-M, harrisonpoole.com. If you want to watch a stand-up comedian try and navigate the end of his 20s, that would be awesome. But yeah, thank you so much to Tristan Hostetter for our theme music. Thank you guys for listening. I think that's it.
Yeah, hugs and kisses.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.